Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the live version of Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz, along with Michael Wiseman from BetweenTheRopes.com. Nice look there, buddy. I'm glad you got your gamer style on with your gamer headset still.
You never know. I mean, somebody could hit me up in the middle of this podcast and I got to go, you know, play some Call of Duty or some Minecraft or whatever it is the kids play these days. So yeah. I'm ready. Just look. Watch this. I'm ready. Look. I mean, I could be playing video games when
Why
the camera's
so close
on
your
you.
Camera?
Because I love you and I love everybody out there.
I'm getting close-ups to your forehead, man. It's just like, whoa, what's going on right here?
Like this? Smooth. Yeah, like this, silky smooth. Like this.
So as we get going here, we're going to promote a couple of things real quick. And, you know, we had a, you know, I couldn't watch Raw live last night, so I had to watch it back afterwards. It was a late night for me, and I had stuff that was very important going on. And, you know what, even though I can't hear this because of our setup, I'm going to do it anyway. This is what I had going on last night. If it will play. Oh, I don't think it's set up. Oh,
is it like a hissing noise? Was that like a?
Oh, hold on.
People hissing you.
I don't set up. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
That was nice. That was real nice what you did there. So you're a Blackhawks fan, is that right?
I'm a big Blackhawks fan because I'm from just outside of Chicago. So had to watch the Cup last night, man. It was emotional, very emotional.
You gave up Raw for hockey? Really?
I watched Raw afterwards. I didn't give it up.
CM Punk? Are you CM Punk giving up wrestling for hockey? What is this?
I know for a fact CM Punk was there in the building last night, the Madhouse on Madison.
I didn't watch it. I haven't watched any of those games.
He was there. It was emotional. First time they won the cup in Chicago since 1938. It's their third cup in the last 6 years. That's a dynasty, my friend.
Is that what that's called now? There are a bunch of Blackhawks fans out there. It was like, I don't know, I feel like I was watching Patriots football all over again. All of them just coming out of the woodwork like, yeah, we're fans. I don't know what's going on.
So sorry about the audio there, but I had to do it. And we'll try to do that better as we try to incorporate some other audio elements coming up here. We're trying to figure that out before we actually started the podcast. And I just did that. So probably chased off like half our audience right there. And we'll see how badly I screwed that up. But that's just the easy end of this podcast. There you go. So we do appreciate everybody for joining us here for the podcast, as always. And don't forget, here on YouTube, please subscribe to us. And also, please like our videos. Please share them. And feel free to make comments. In fact, you can ask questions in the chat room. And we'll try to get some questions here. And also, you can go to BetweenTheRopes.com, subscribe to our podcast, whether it's on iTunes or on Stitcher. And while you're there, rate us and review us on both iTunes and Stitcher. And don't forget, you can check us out online over at our Facebook page as well. Go to facebook.com/between the ropes, take part in the conversation there, and you can leave questions there as well for the podcast. And before we get going talking about Raw and everything, we do want to bring up one other thing that we just launched, and that is our Patreon campaign. I've been doing this for a long time. Michael's been here for the last couple of years, but we've been doing Between the Ropes now since 1998. So we've been doing it for a long time, and a lot of people like what we do, and we're hoping that you support us in so many different ways already, but you can support us now through our Patreon campaign. And that's just giving a little bit and seeing value in what we do, enjoying what we do, and making sure that we can continue doing it for a long time to come, and also even allow us more time to be able to even do more with Between the Ropes, because it's not a full-time job for either of us, but it can be. And we want to be able to do more things with it. And we have different goals set up on the Patreon campaign. And we also have some milestones that we want to reach and things that we will do. And you know, different levels for everybody. If you contribute however amount you can. And I mean, even if it's as little as a dollar a month, it goes a long way. Cause like if everybody that subscribed to us on YouTube, give us a dollar a month, we'd be doing so, so great. And if you want to give more than that, that would be fantastic. It goes a long way, like I said, in helping us out and doing what we're doing. Now, if you cannot contribute, I understand that. Please support us in all the other ways, like subscribing to us on YouTube and on iTunes and through our website and by spreading the word about Between the Ropes. But we hope that you consider our Patreon campaign and that you pledge what you want. You pledge what we feel you feel that we are worth and our value. So we appreciate everybody for always supporting us. And if you could support us through our Patreon campaign, that would really, really help us out. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. And that's where you'll find it. You can also go to betweentheropes.com up in the top right hand corner on our sidebar. We've got a link that takes you right there as well. So it's patreon.com/betweentheropes. And if you can support us there, that would be fantastic.
Can I add something to that? A couple of things. We have some milestone goals. That's easy for me to say. Milestone goals. We have some of those things.
You started drinking early today, didn't you?
There it is. As I'm talking.
All right.
Okay. We got some milestone goals up on the Patreon.
Is it like Cold Stone Creamery?
Cold Stone Creamery is probably even better than our milestone goals, but I don't know. You should check those out. They're pretty cool. We also have some hidden ones that as we start bumping up those tiers, as we see some donations start rolling in, we're going to start adding some more to it. One of our reach goals, you will see one of these days, literally stipulates that Brian and I would move to the same town, live in the same town, and do all sorts of crazy shenanigans together. So, there's some good ones building up to that, though. Cheap Pops is one of them. And you can get some cool stuff yourself if you give us a certain amount per month. Everything from shout-outs to some BTR swag, even to 60-second ads right here on the show that I'll promote alongside my beer, which, again, the most important reason to donate is so I can have more delicious beers like Somersault from New Belgium.
And by the way, for every dollar that you do donate, even if it's as little as a dollar, you will automatically earn something from all of us here Between the Ropes, and that is our respect. And that's the most important thing, that for even as little as a dollar a month, we will give you our respect.
There you go. Respect. That's everything.
Well, it's all that.
Also, I believe it's enough. I have changed. I'm not even promoting myself. No more Michael A. Wiseman. No more at the real Wiseman on Twitter. I am promoting our Patreon campaign. We appreciate you all. I personally love each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. I owe you all hugs and beers and everything else for listening to us. So let's get into it, buddy.
Let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about Raw from Monday night in Cleveland, Ohio, the city that hasn't won a championship in so many years that Seth Rollins not only knew that, but decided to take some nice shots at them, not only at LeBron James, the Cavaliers, who are playing later on tonight, game 6 of the NBA Finals, and with their backs up against the wall, down 3-2 against the Warriors. But he also took a nice shot at Johnny Manziel, now dubbed as Johnny Idiot Face, who happened to be sitting there in the front row, which was fantastic. So overall, you know, it's funny. I thought Raw was a good show. The last week or two, I thought it kind of hit the brakes a little bit, but this week seemed a little bit more jazzed up and maybe a little bit more renewed because they weren't on that mad scramble when it comes to pay-per-views. Their next pay-per-view isn't for another, you know, 5 weeks when it comes to Battleground. There was still a couple misses on the show, but overall, I liked the show.
I was a little bit underwhelmed, I think, and maybe I wasn't still living off that high of the NHL playoffs like you were. That could be part of the issue. Yeah, I didn't have that to experience, but is this going to be our show today? Is this what we're?
Chelsea Dagger, man, it's the goal song for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, something like that. I thought that Raw could have had some good moments, and it had a good hook, but I thought there were spots where it just felt kind of. The long matches were good. Some of them were, and some of them I was kind of indifferent to. So I think it worked really well as a DVR show, which is probably why you liked it, because it's like, well, this segment is going too long. Fast forward. But overall, I thought it was about in line with the things we've seen the last couple of weeks. Not bad, not terrible, but not great either. Just a little bit lackluster here or there.
Well, I think the things that stood out to me were I liked the way that they had used Rollins, and it was kind of not that it wasn't being telegraphed for weeks, but it kind of went the way that I thought it would when it came to Rollins and how they would bring back Brock Lesnar, because that's right, Brock Lesnar is back. And it was the way that kind of I had said that they would do it from a standpoint that Rollins is going to be braggadocious about not needing anybody help. He didn't need the authority. He didn't need J&J security. He didn't need Kane. He didn't need anybody. He would go out there and he would retain his title all on his own. And when he cracked on the authority, that was enough. And they said, let's bring back Lesnar. And what we didn't see, even though on Raw, was that afterwards, I guess they had stated on the microphone in front of the audience there in Cleveland, was that the reason Brock was back is because he and the authority had reached a monetary settlement to lift his suspension.
Oh, so they announced that in Cleveland, but not on TV?
Correctamundo.
What? That was my biggest issue with that whole angle, was the fact that they didn't give us a reason to believe that the authority would want to bring back Brock Lesnar. And I was thinking, this segment could be pretty good, but I don't buy this. I don't buy that Triple H and Stephanie want to bring back Brock Lesnar so quickly after suspending him. That would have went a long way in helping me buy into that, believe it or not.
Well, that's exactly what they did. But I mean, it made a lot of sense the way that they did it, from the standpoint that Rollins was out in the ring and he got his shots in on Cleveland, which was fantastic, being a sports fan. And then he pulled out the list and saying, I got a lot of people I got to thank here for all the, you know, from where I'm at right now and just so many people. And I was thinking in the back of my mind going, there better only be one name on that list, and it better be Seth Rollins. And that's exactly what it was. As he ran down all the people that he did not need to thank, then he said, let me thank Seth Rollins. And I need to thank Seth Rollins. Oh, and don't let me forget about Seth Rollins. And it was, and the crowd was just building up. They already hated him for what he had said about their sports teams. And then he got to that point, and I thought it was really, really well done. I'm just a big fan of Seth. I know some people think that maybe his title run hasn't gone that well overall, but I think it's gone fantastically good, especially for a guy that a lot of people had question marks when it came to being a singles guy. And I think he surpassed all those expectations. And then at the end of the show, where they're going to announce who was going to be facing him, the authority came out and they said, here's the deal. You are like a lump of coal and we want to put you under pressure. So do you turn into dust? Or do we really find that diamond? Well, we're going to put you under pressure. And Brock Lesnar's music hit. And I think Seth almost soiled himself. And all Lesnar had to do was come to the ring, circle it one time. Paul Heyman shook hands with the authority. Brock stood there, stared a hole through Seth Rollins, and gave that smirk that he has. And that's all we needed. And now we get to have some fun with Brock Lesnar back.
I think that last night really felt like the night of heels in WWE, because you had, we'll get to Kevin Owens in a little bit, but you had Kevin Owens and you had Seth Rollins just giving us tremendous promos. I mean, that promo that Seth Rollins started out the night with is one of those, I won't put it up there quite as high as Jericho's 1001 holds promo, but it felt like that kind of vibe, that you're just really just eking off that energy from the crowd. You're able to just really sell how much of a jackass you are. And I loved it, man. Seth Rollins is money, money, money on the mic. And I've said this, you need to be able to go on the mic and you don't have to win every match to be a heel. And what I really mean by that is wins and losses matter. But if you're that kind of slimy heel and you're good enough on the mic, it doesn't matter. That's the only exception you can get. So I loved the way this show opened. I loved the confrontation Seth Rollins had with Brock Lesnar at the end of the night. I loved all those little vignettes backstage where he was talking to Stephanie and he was trying to say, oh, we're good, right? And they were like, well, he was trying to, you know, buddy up with J&J. I just think there was so much that had been built into this Seth Rollins title feud that they were able to play off of last night, leading into the Brock Lesnar reveal. We all knew it was going to be Brock Lesnar, right? It wasn't a big surprise. But the fact that they tied all those different elements into it, and that they're using Triple H as kind of, and Stephanie McMahon too, but really Triple H is this leverage to kind of get over on Seth Rollins. I really enjoyed it, but I definitely enjoy it more knowing that they explained their reasons for bringing Brock Lesnar back in a more formal fashion.
So you didn't believe it when the thought was out there that Joey Mercury might be the number one contender, considering that he had pinned the champion the prior week?
So you know what I did, actually? So there, he's standing backstage with Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble. And I know that Jamie Noble has retired from in-ring competition officially. I don't remember Joey Mercury ever officially retiring from in-ring competition.
Right.
Did he? I mean, he hasn't.
I don't think so. I don't think he ever officially did.
So I sat there and watched this and I said, well, how old is Joey Mercury? Does he still have any gas in the tank to go? Because he still looks fit. I mean, and you can tell in these promos he's been doing, he can talk. He has the gift of gab. Maybe not as good as some people, but right. he's you know, his size is the biggest thing against him.
What is he, like mid-30s?
34.
Yeah.
So my thought was, I'm not saying they're going to put the belt on him. I don't believe that for half a second. But they could be gearing him up for another maybe small run in ring. That would be interesting.
I don't think Joey even wants that. I think Joey likes the role he's in now.
But he could, I mean, you know, have a couple of matches against Seth Rollins on Raw. That could be fun, right?
I mean, I always like just hearing JB Noble cut promos. Hey, well, Seth, hey, Seth, I know, but I'm telling you.
Well, Seth, I know, but I'm a cruiserweight champion.
Cruiserweight. So, yeah, there was a lot of different directions, you know, when they were, you know, teasing about where they're going to go with the title. You even had Dean Ambrose giving a little, you know, pep talk to Kane of all people, or just giving him a speech when Kane was talking about, you know, I'm going to be the number one contender. And Dean Ambrose is like, yeah, yeah, you're a joke, basically. And gave the whole thing about, hey, you know what the difference between you and me is? This is a job to you. This is my life. And he goes, you know what? I liked it better when you were, you know, Kane with the mask and Hellfire and Brimstone, because that guy did some vicious stuff. And I like that. He goes, you, not so much. And Kane had to sit there and ponder and wonder what his life had come to at this point, as he stood there in his dress pants and a white towel around his shoulder and thinking, my God, that little guy, he was right.
He called him an executive. So I guess where I lost my suspension of disbelief was that where he said, you know, now you're just an executive. And I was sitting there thinking, well, does Kane show up to board meetings? He like shows up to board meetings without his shirt on and just his dress pants. And he just sits around talking to the other guys in their suits about, you know, business dealings.
Does Kane hand out business cards for life insurance or anything beforehand, since that's another business?
Right, right. He hands out dental insurance for Dr. Yankum.
Don't ever mention that to Kane if you meet him.
Dr. Yankum.
I'm serious, man. He doesn't like that.
Oh, but I just thought that was a very interesting picture. Is, you know, he's sitting down there, Vince McMahon's up at the head saying, you know, rah, swipe left, everybody, swipe left. And Kane's sitting in the back with, you know, his shirtless self going on. That was but yeah, I did like the passion there. Ambrose is a great speaker too, man. I'll tell you what, these guys from the Shield, God, they struck gold with these guys.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They did. And the one that we all thought was going to be the biggest star and still very well may be is still kind of getting on that path. You know, we all thought he was going to win a WrestleMania when it came to Roman, and it didn't happen. And now we'll see what happens next. You know, obviously he's facing Bray Wyatt. So, well, a couple other things from the show.
Okay. So did that change? Okay. My question is this, since we got the confirmation last night that Brock Lesnar is fighting Seth Rollins in 5 weeks or 4.5 weeks or whatever it is now, does that change your mind any on the thought of what happens at SummerSlam?
I was going to get into that later.
Hold that thought
about Battleground and when it comes to SummerSlam. And
let you run the show now. This is your baby.
No.
Go sit here and drink some beer.
I'm good. Because I was thinking about getting into it right there, and I go, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about Raw, and then we'll kind of go into that conversation, you know, afterwards. So when it came to, you know, Rollins, I think we both liked a lot. The other thing that really stood out was how strong WWE has continued to keep Kevin Owens. So he lost to Cena. Oh, boo. But you know, he got his heat back after the match. He laid out Cena, gave him the powerbomb on the ring apron. And then Kevin Owens came out and basically said, hey, you know what? You had me, John. You wanted to shake my hand and everything. But then when you had said you belong here, well, yeah, I know I belong here, man. What a sign of disrespect. And that's why he had to take him out. And that made a lot of sense. It's funny because, like, sometimes heels speak the truth. It's just people don't like the truth that they're telling. And that's what gets them the most amount of heat. Go back to when Jericho turned heel, especially against Shawn Michaels. He called Shawn Michaels a hypocrite. Shawn was a hypocrite. But he was Shawn Michaels, beloved by the fans. And when the heel keeps rubbing it in and saying, he's a hypocrite, he's a hypocrite, he's a hypocrite, people got tired of it and they didn't want to hear it from Jericho. That's the same thing we're going to get here, I think, from Kevin Owens. Oh, don't show me your respect. I don't want your respect. Oh, that's you're disrespecting me by saying these different things. Oh, you're doing, you know, I don't want to shake your hand. You know, I don't need to shake your hand. You know, things like that, that just those little elements that I like that play off of. I mean, some people really do get rubbed the wrong way by some of those things. So it plays into the whole persona that he is. So Cena's not there selling the back injury, which was very smart. And so he has the open challenge. Dolph Ziggler comes out and Jillian, what the hell is her name? Why can't I think of her name now?
Lillian Garcia.
My God.
Jillian Garcia. You mixed her up with the other one.
I haven't even been drinking. But Lillian Garcia goes, this match is for one fall for the NXT championship. And Kevin Owens goes, wait a second there, Blondie. I never said it was for the championship, which was great. And Dolph still had the match, and he and Dolph had a fantastic match again. And Owens won, like he should have. So I don't think the loss to Cena really hurt him. They're setting up, obviously, another match. He even said he wanted a rematch and would be for the United States Championship. So they'll do that, whether it's going to be a Battleground or at SummerSlam. That remains to be seen. Probably a Battleground, if I really had to guess. But that's the direction they're going. And, hey, you know what? Owens is a guy that they have a lot of confidence in right now because – he's having great matches. He's cutting great promos. They gave him a really, really long match. I mean, that went over, what, three segments that they had
It was at least two breaks, and I don't know the time on it, but it was
15 minutes.
15. I was going to say 15 minutes-ish.
And that's a good amount of time for a TV match on Raw.
Yeah, I was going to say I was really surprised that this match went as long as it did because I kind of expected they'd go the Kevin Owens comes out and dominates his opponent the Monday night after losing just to prove that he's hardcore as he claims to be. But I did like the intrigue about Dolph Ziggler being there. I kind of hate that Dolph Ziggler lost this match because it feels like at times they're high on him and at times they're not. But it was so funny to see him out there and the NXT championship possibly being on the line and all this stuff. I just wonder what they're going to do with that belt once they finally get it off of Kevin Owens.
Well, I think that July 4th special they're doing in Japan, it makes a lot of sense if Finn Balor wins it there. But here's the other question I have for you, okay? If you are Dolph Ziggler, or you're one of these guys that have been on the main roster for a while, especially somebody like Dolph, who's already been the WWE champion, do you even want to compete for the NXT championship?
Sure. Why not?
Well, NXT, even though it's developing into its own brand and everything, and it has a certain buzz, it's still supposed to be a developmental group.
So
do you want to go back down to NXT?
But you don't go. So I guess my thought on it is this. Once you reach the top of NXT, and Adam Rose never did this, and you kind of seen what's happened with him and a few other guys. Once you reach the top of NXT, I kind of feel like you're in the main roster territory either way, and there's enough overlap there. Like, to me, the NXT championship now especially feels more like a mid-level WWE belt than it does a top-level NXT belt. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just the way that you look at it. Like, you can look at it in a variety of different ways when it comes to that championship. Like I said, you can look at it from, okay, that's the champion of developmental, or you can look at it as, hey, that's pretty prestigious considering NXT and the brand that it is right now. I guess it just depends on how you look at it. But it just feels a little bit weird when you've got somebody like a Dolph Ziggler that was already the WWE champion that is all pumped up to compete for the NXT title.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, it feels like John Cena is, and he's he has the most wins or most championship reigns of anybody ever. I agree.
Not Ric Flair.
Ric Flair was what, 17? What's John Cena at?
18 time. Woo!
So what's John Cena at, 17?
No, I don't think he's at that many.
He's up there, man. He's close.
Actually, Flair, I think when he signs autographs, if I remember right, it's 16 times, but he's actually won the title like 20 or 21.
Okay. That's, I guess, to me, like this NXT belt for right now, and who knows what they'll do with it in the future, but right now it's an ambiguous belt. Is it an NXT championship? Is it a main roster belt? I kind of like that. I go back to this example I read a few weeks ago where it was like NXT is what WCW always wanted the NWO to be. They have their own championships. They have their own shows. They're this separate brand within the brand. To me, that's very exciting because it achieves what really what happened with SmackDown that never really played out, which is you have this separate entity that is not really the main thing that your product is, but it exists in the same spectrum. And I mean, for years, the World Heavyweight Championship felt like the same thing. Guys fought for it, but it never felt like the belt like the WWE Championship did. So I don't know. I kind of don't have an issue with it. I think it's kind of fun.
Well, they had a really fun match. And Kevin Owens won, and he should have won. So that worked out really, really good. Some of the stuff that they did on the show that, well, going back to near the beginning. So Dean Ambrose and Rollins actually got into a scuffle, and Rollins left. So Ambrose is in the ring, and he basically said, "Hey, Cleveland, you know, he's from Ohio," and said, "I'm going to stay here in the ring. And hold a strike," basically. Sheamus came out and they did battle, and Ambrose beat Sheamus because Randy Orton distracted Sheamus. So they're going to continue the Sheamus versus Randy Orton feud, which I think they have pretty good matches, but for whatever reason, the crowd is always dead or has been dead the last 2 weeks when they've done them. And they did the whole roll up for the win, which they did in two matches in a row on this show. And I understand that Ambrose needed a win, probably coming off of Money in the Bank, where he barely lost to Rollins in the main event. But Sheamus just won Money in the Bank. And it would be nice if they would build somebody up. This even Steven booking of, okay, you just won this big match, so now you can lose kind of thing. I'm not the biggest fan of that. And I don't think they should have had a match together. I mean, I think they both should have won.
Right. It's a questionable decision to put those two guys in that position where one of them has to basically suffer a loss.
And I'm tired of this whole, somebody came on distracting me. So somebody came up from behind the guys in the ring and rolled them over. I'm like, who would have thought that the greatest finisher in the WWE over the last year is a freaking roll up from behind?
It also cheapens the roll-up. So one of the things I don't like about that is, first off, everybody looks like a complete idiot, or the wrestlers who fall for this look like a complete idiot, I should say, because they're in there, and everybody in the arena, everybody watching on TV knows what's getting ready to happen, right? They are getting ready to get rolled up, and they're going to lose. So that bothers me because it makes those guys look like complete dolts. But the roll-up is kind of a fun thing when it's used sparingly. Like every once in a while when a guy gets a small package or a roll-up or an inside cradle and gets the win, and it's surprising.
It's best used for upsets.
Like, yes.
The best example of it ever in WWE, in my mind, or at least of the last 20 years, is when Hurricane beat The Rock on Raw.
Yes. Yes. And it elevated his stock because it's a great way to elevate somebody's stock by giving them a win that it almost feels like they didn't deserve, but they can celebrate and the crowd goes crazy. It's why I liked what happened a couple of weeks ago with Seth Rollins and J&J Security, because it was that kind of example. They didn't really win, right? They won the match. They have the W, but they didn't really win because they're still the undercard talent. But it gives everybody that moment without cheapening the main guy. Like The Rock, he was fine after that. Mm-hmm. But that's a good example. I think they are overusing it right now, and it's almost like they're just, I don't know, they're bereft of good creative ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you there, man. I feel bad for King Barrett.
Because oh, God.
Poor guy. Oh. Won King of the Ring. And they're like, cool, they're going to finally do something with him. Because they had not been doing anything with him, even when he was in our Intercontinental Champion, where he would lose every week, even though he's the champion. So he wins the King of the Ring. I think he's lost like every match since then, or maybe has won like once. He's facing R-Truth, who comes out there mocking him with like a, what was it, a plunger for a scepter, and had on like a fake cape and a fake crown. Maybe it was a Burger King crown and everything. And guess what? He beats King Barrett in about 20 seconds.
It just seems like they are doing whatever they can to, first off, make King of the Ring mean absolutely nothing. And at the same time, cheapen everything that Wade Barrett has worked to earn. I mean, when Wade Barrett came back, we were talking about him being one of the front runners to win Money in the Bank. And now, could you imagine him carrying around that briefcase and threatening to cash it in on somebody? Nobody would take it seriously. And R-Truth, they're not going to do anything with R-Truth, so I don't understand why they're giving him this weird push. It's just like they're just using him for this comedy routine at the expense of other legitimate competitors. And I think that's piss poor booking to what it is.
Well, I know Barrett beat him up afterwards and cut a promo, but man, that poor guy, he's just been buried. Nobody can take him serious at this point. It's, I don't know what he did, man, but it's just crazy, you know, the way that they've used him and just, I think, wasted him, because I think he's a good talent. So
yeah, and he was supposed to win Money in the Bank a year ago or 2 years ago. He headlined pay-per-views with John Cena his first year on the main roster. I mean, this guy's got limitless talent. He's so good on the microphone that whenever he was a heel, he was getting over based off his charisma, and they had to take away his gimmick. I mean, that's how good this guy is. And you can't find anything better to do with him than to stick him in this weird role where he's on the undercard of pay-per-views, not even on the main card. He's losing to R-Truth, who hasn't been relevant in 3 years. It boggles my mind how much talent and how much money you're leaving on the table, how much talent you're wasting there. I don't get it.
And he's a Chicago Bears fan, so that really puts him high, you know, in my list, you know.
Oh, wow. You know what? You know who I pull for? Baseball? I've never told you this.
The Bears are football, dude.
Oh, you said Bears. I thought you said Cubs. I'm sorry.
No, he's a Bears fan. Bears?
Sorry, it was the internet. It cut out. So yeah,
Bears.
The Bears. Okay. Obviously, football, I pull for the Carolina Panthers. You talk about baseball a lot, and I'm always like, I don't like baseball that much.
You like some minor league team in Winston-Salem.
That's right, I do. Winston-Salem Dash. Woo! Woo-hoo!
Isn't Global Force Wrestling there tonight?
So, if you are a wrestler, this is a good segue here. I like this. Jeff Jarrett is actually in Winston-Salem right now, because tonight...
How are you not strutting with Double J right now?
I got a couple hours, man. Listen, we have this podcast, right? I gotta do my due diligence and keep my schedule. Jeff Jarrett's gonna be here tonight to do the first pitch at the Winston-Salem Dash game at BB&T Park.
Is he gonna ride up on a horse, on a white horse, sunglasses,
little flashy jacket, right?
Sing a song. JEFFJARRET, Jeff Jarrett ready to throw out the first pitch.
So he's throwing out the opening pitch, which I think is awesome, because August 14th, Global Force Wrestling is coming to Winston-Salem. And they're coming to BB&T Stadium. You know, they stole TNA's idea of doing the ballparks.
Right? And they're bringing the six-sided ring with them.
We'll talk about that more later. But tonight he's announcing special guests who are going to be at this event. Kevin Nash is going to be here in August. Returning back to a wrestling town.
Big Sexy's going to be there. You're going to hang out with the boys that night, right?
Yeah, that's right. So August 14th. But tonight he's doing the first. Tonight Jeff Jarrett is throwing the first pitch to announce
too sweet,
the full lineup.
Nash, too sweet.
Oh, my God. Are you sure you haven't been drinking?
I am high on euphoria of the Blackhawks. You want me to play the audio again?
You got some woodchuck over there you're keeping secret?
I have not. No, I just drank some Powerade in my AC/DC mug.
Oh, God.
One of my AC/DC mugs. Look at that thing. That's beautiful.
Who are you, Vince McMahon? What is this?
I liked AC/DC before Vince, okay?
I doubt that.
Vince, I don't think, became a fan of theirs until The Rock first hosted Saturday Night Live. And remember, Vince made a cameo, and so did Big Show and Triple H and Foley. And AC/DC was the act that night. And that, I believe, is when Vince became a big fan of AC/DC. I've been a fan of theirs much earlier than that.
Good for you. Good for you.
You think I'm lying or something? It's because Vince is older, but no.
I mean... I'm just saying,
even though Vince is obsessed, and when he goes to the workout room, I guess that's all he does is he blasts AC/DC.
I'm saying that comparing you to Vince McMahon is not something that
I
want.
Comparing myself, I'm saying that I've been a fan of a band longer than Vince, who's now a fan of that same band.
And all I'm saying is that he could squish both of our faces like pimples with his biceps.
I've got a picture of me and Vince where he is crushing me, okay? He's got his arm around me, and he's, like, trying to fold me up like an accordion.
That right there, Brian, that's testicular fortitude. That's testicular fortitude.
Hey, man, I got on Vince's good side, you know. I called I did that interview with him talking about the XFL, and he was in a foul mood before I started talking to him because the person that talked to him previous to me kind of irritated him. And the conversation with me went well as we talked about the XFL. We talked about them going over to the TV shows going to Spike, so they're joining up with Viacom, and they're bringing in ECW. We talked about all that. And my final question was, how's the genetic jackhammer doing at home? And his response was, doing the best that I can. You know, he got done. And I said, can I get a picture real quick? He's like, come on, and pal. I think he called me pal. And we got the picture.
So here's my question for you. So Donald Trump announced his presidency. Right? Okay.
Hi, Governor!
Okay. So I imagine this is what happened, right? Because, you know, Donald Trump, Vince McMahon are great friends. So I like to imagine they're in the boardroom at WWE headquarters, right? Donald Trump shows up and he's going to talk to Vince about, you know, I need some strategy ideas. And of course, Kane is there in his executive outfit in the background somewhere, sitting there looking angry or whatever he does.
Vince loaned Kane to Donald Trump to help him with the campaign as his
yes.
of operations.
Yes. I like to imagine though Vince was giving Donald Trump a pep speech, and Donald said, you know, Vince, I really need some help here. And he kind of has his hair or whatever.
Because Linda's had so much, you know, success in politics so far. So you're the master.
Right, right, right. Well, he's had more success than Donald Trump has, I think, right?
No.
Listen, all I know is that Vince McMahon at one point sold Monday Night Raw to Donald Trump and their stock crashed, right? So,
by the way, if anybody saw the Donald Trump speech today that he said he was announcing his candidacy for president, it sounded like an old man screaming at kids to stop throwing rocks or staying out of the stop playing in the street. You kids out there, stop what you're doing. I mean, he's like an old man yelling at everyone.
He's like Clint Eastwood in that movie, Gran Torino.
Gran Torino, get off my lawn! Bunch of meddling kids. It's like George Costanza once said, the sea was angry that day, my friend, like an old man trying to return soup at a deli.
Oh, Lord.
Trump, thanks for the comedy, buddy. We're going to have months and months of comedy of Donald Trump because he can solve everything, okay?
With what, money? He doesn't even,
He doesn't even want campaign donations because, you know, I've got money. That's right.
He's really relating to the people there. Good for him. And then
if you were running against him, wouldn't you just hire somebody and try like to keep it on the down low as much as possible to sneak up behind Trump sometime, like get this person access somehow and see, have him sneak behind Trump and steal the hairpiece? Yeah. That would ruin him forever, wouldn't it?
I mean, that'd pretty much be the end of it. Well, actually, if I
were that's pretty mean spirited, though. That's even mean spirited for Trump.
I mean, if I, that's probably
behind comedy, but it's kind of mean.
I mean, he's got no chance anyway. I mean, he's so unrelatable.
No chance in hell. You got.
Oh Lord, he's running on.
Did he play Vince's song?
Yeah, he's running on the heel platform. He should play Vince's song.
Go all heel. Maybe he should go with Shane McMahon's the Money Money.
Yeah.
Bling, bling.
I Love Nuggets in the chat room pointed out that Kane wouldn't support the campaign because he's a libertarian.
It is true. He is a libertarian.
Good point. It's an interesting day.
Oh, my God, man. We're going off on some tangents here. It's great.
Wow.
In case you don't know, I am not going to be voting for Donald Trump.
I might. He has a chance to convince me. I mean,
convince you? What, by shoving some 50s in your pocket?
Listen, he only has to shove one 50. You mean some 50s. You give me one 50, he's got my vote.
Your vote for the person that's going to be running the most powerful country in the world is up for bid.
I mean, no, you can't buy my support. I'm a journalist, and I would never be bought off by anybody.
I don't care if you're a journalist or not. You're supposed to be an American that votes with what you believe.
Oh, my God. USC2 in the chat room. Have Kane run with Rand Paul, then. As long as it gets Kane out of the ring, I don't care.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't think Rand Paul's running again. He's running that conspiracy. Right. He's running the Is it Rand Paul that's running? Or no, I'm thinking of his dad.
You're thinking of Ron Paul, yeah.
I'm thinking of Ron Paul, who's now got the video on YouTube talking about how the economy here in the United States is about to undergo a crash that's going to be like 10 times worse than the one that happened a few years ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen this? He's running commercials for it.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Do you have to buy his book to find out the secrets?
No. You have to just go to his YouTube page. It's like, go check out my website, like Ron Paul dash blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like one of these weird URLs that no one would ever think of buying. And then he's got a video on there.
Rand Paul dash 2016 dash look at this website.com.
Sure. Why not?
It's probably a solution is just vote for my son. And
there you go. He's an extremely smart guy. And maybe he's right, but it's almost like one of these truther videos or end of the world, the way they're advertising it. So
like our truther. See what I did there.
So also on Raw. Man, we got the match.
That was your political moment right here on
political moment. Yes. So we got the match that people have been pining for a long time. Randy Orton against Kane took place. Again. And in the middle of the match, Kane said, by the way, you know, I'm the director of operations. So this is a no holds barred match. And Sheamus came down and he connected with a brogue kick on Randy Orton as sweet revenge. And Kane pinned Orton and got the big W.
It's so weird. These authority figures, when they wrestle and they can just make on the spot decisions like that, but they never use it to their advantage when a title is on the line. I don't get it.
You got to see Big Show against The Miz with Ryback on commentary, who's actually talking like a real person and not the Ryback. And guess who won this match? The Miz got the win via countout and celebrate like he just won the world title.
Yep. That's the Miz for you. I love him. Love him to death.
Did you like it where Show picked up Miz, threw him on Ryback, and Ryback's mention and commentary was, I've got Miz all over me.
Yeah. That was it's like, a little risque right there. I don't know.
Roman Reigns was on the show. He called out Bray Wyatt, said he was pissed off for what he had done. At Money in the Bank, Bray appeared on the screen, cut a promo, which I think a lot of people get a little bit weirded out and also wonder exactly where they're going sometimes with the Bray Wyatt promos, from the standpoint that it's not always on point, like calling his opponent or building to a particular match. In this one, he basically said, hey, Roman, you beat me a couple weeks ago, and that meant I couldn't be a Money in the Bank, so you screwed me out of my shot there and winning the championship and making a change. So guess what? I decided to screw you at Money in the Bank. So it made sense from that standpoint. But then Bray went on this kind of weird thing where he was talking about the Chosen One. And I wasn't sure if he was talking about, he said Reigns reminds him of someone else who was the Chosen One. Now, I wasn't sure. Did he mean Drew McIntyre? Did he mean Jesus Christ? I wasn't sure who he was talking about. I assume maybe the latter without saying it. And, but the end of it, he showed a picture of Roman playing with his daughter where they were playing like they were having tea. And that prompted Bray Wyatt to sing the I'm a Little Teapot song. And Roman just stood in the ring looking rather upset. Wasn't frothing. I mean, he didn't run to the back or anything like that, but he was irritated. So as creepy as the end of that was in including Roman's daughter, I didn't really have too big of a problem with it because it brought in like a personal element as long as they don't ever like have a ringside or put her in the ring or anything like that. But they're adding like a little bit of a personal element to it and trying to give something to Bray and Roman.
It's too much at some point. I think I really like Bray Wyatt and I like what he came out and did Sunday night. And I like the way he looked. And I felt like what happened last night, his promo was good, but it was too long, and it was the same kind of thing we've seen from him time and time again. And what I'd like is I'd like for him to come down there and face Roman Reigns in the ring and cut a small promo like that and show the daughter and do his little laugh. I mean, there are more ways you can develop Bray Wyatt than just having him backstage all the time. I know that's his thing, but he's got a new look now with the apron on and the butcher thing going on. I would like to have seen something a little bit different from here, especially if this is going to be a short feud, which it might be. So, I don't know. I want to see where they go with this in the next few weeks. I think they could have some good chemistry there, but I hope that Bray Wyatt wins because Bray Wyatt's whole thing, I know he's not going to, but Bray Wyatt's whole thing has been picking up the Chosen Ones and attacking them. He's like anti-institution, right? And he loses all the time now, so he can't really be anti-institution if he's no good himself.
The other things that happened on the show real quick, we'll mention a couple, and then the big one that happened as well. So they still don't know what to do with the divas. At one point, they had Paige in the back talking with all the divas and pleading with them about let's get the Bellas. They did a handicap match, the Bellas against Paige. Bellas won, of course, so they don't know what to do with the divas. They got to bring some fresh blood in there. They did primetime players.
Which I mean, that whole segment, I mean, I'm glad they're doing something with them, but it's just meandering around in the wilderness. And it was just kind of an awkward segment, I felt like. I didn't really feel like it hit the right notes they were anticipating, you know?
Yeah. Primetime players and Neville against the New Day. And guess what? New Day did not get their win back. Instead, it was Neville getting the pin. And WWE must think very highly of Neville as well. They're not pushing him like they are Kevin Owens, but they're including him in a lot of stuff and putting him in a lot of good positions, which I'm happy to see.
Is he ever going to hit that glass ceiling?
Maybe.
Because they pushed Dolph Ziggler for quite some time too, and then he hit that glass ceiling. And
there's
that could
a
have
difference,
been
though.
But what?
Dolph always argued with the man or would be told to do different things and would go out there and not listen when it comes to doing too much. And I like Dolph, and I think he's super talented, and I wish they would give him more opportunities. But he's just rubbed some people the wrong way with his attitude. I think it's just him being braggadocious, and it's just who he is. And I don't think Neville has that personality. And for people with power in the company, I think he's more likable.
Do you think his size is going to work against him, though? That's what I meant more by that statement.
I would have thought it would have right off the bat. But it hasn't so far. I think eventually when it comes to being a world champion, but it doesn't mean he still can't be really good in the position he's at. By the way, remember the whole Mighty Mouse, him with a mask rumor?
Yeah.
So he did a radio tour last week, and I spoke with him, but I didn't ask him the question about it. You can go to BetweenTheRopes.com. You can check out the interview. But somebody asked him that, and he said, I don't even know where that came from because there was never any truth to that.
That's weird.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet, kids.
Weird. Or don't trust the guy saying it either, that one.
Sure. The other big thing, though, that happened on the show was going back to Kevin Owens. So we had Machine Gun Kelly, who, okay, I'll be honest with you. I do not have a foothold or really good grasp on the rap community. Since you are the Between the Ropes rap expert.
Okay.
Is Machine Gun Kelly
a title? I wear this title very proudly, you sure. All. I have
I'm going to start doing stuff like the Daily Show to... where you can be the senior black correspondent as well. So
people might have issues with that one. Just saying.
They did it last night. They had a white guy be the senior black correspondent. So is Machine Gun Kelly a big person in the rap community? Like, is he a big star?
All I know about Machine Gun Kelly, and granted, I am the Between the Ropes rap correspondent, so that could be quite a
bit. Senior rap correspondent.
Senior rap correspondent. I don't like to brag, but yeah, senior rap correspondent right here, Between the Ropes. All I know about Machine Gun Kelly is that when I was tagging this video today to put it up on YouTube, I typed in Machine Gun Kelly, and in parentheses, it gives you descriptions, you know, like Seth Rollins, parentheses, wrestler, or Brock Lesnar, parentheses, MMA athlete. Machine Gun Kelly, parentheses, deceased artist.
What?
Yeah. So I went to check. He's not dead, but YouTube thinks he is. So, you know, maybe his music is just killing it. You know, that's my soul.
Well, anyway.
Name two songs Machine Gun Kelly has.
I don't know, man. I don't keep up in rap.
Okay. Well, there you go. Very popular guy.
If you say so.
Yeah, I'm the senior rap correspondent. I would know.
Okay. Well, he came out there. He did a song.
He played a song. But you can't even say he played a song because he just
sang a song. He rapped, he whatever. So he went out there. He did a song. And the crowd was like, yep, there's Machine Gun Kelly. And afterwards, Kevin Owens came out there and was clapping his hands like, hey, yo, good job there, kid. And Machine Gun Kelly was just like, oh, you know, whatever. Kind of got in his face a little bit. And Kevin Owens was going, then good old Machine Gun Kelly was going to shake his hand. And Owens didn't want any part of that. Like, looked at him like he had a third eye. And that damn braggadocious little punk Machine Gun Kelly decided to push Kevin Owens. Tisk, tisk, my man. He took a kick to the gut. He nearly tripped over the drum set. And then Owens grabbed him again, picked him up, and powerbombed him off the stage into a nice secure spot. But it looked really good. The only thing that I was a little bit surprised about was they didn't stretcher him out. Machine Gun Kelly is so tough with a 98-pound frame that he had some friends and medical come over, and they were able to help him walk to the back.
It's like a trigger for him now. Like, his trigger is that if somebody, Kevin Owens, his trigger is that if somebody goes to shake his hand, he beats the crap out of him.
Shake his hand, okay? He's a germaphobe.
Is that what he's a, he's a germaphobe?
If you put Purell on your hand first, you might have a chance.
Oh, I just thought that was a funny thing, that the way he stared him down after that. But I liked the segment. I said afterwards, Kevin Owens is the most entertaining thing on my TV nowadays. And I just wish he could just, he could be out there all night. He's so good at what he does. The fact that they tied in the guest, the musical guest, into a segment was kind of fun. There's going to be follow-up in that they implied that Kevin Owens is going to get fined or have some kind of disciplinary action against him. My guess is that they suspend him for a number of weeks so they can wait for John Cena to come back and they can have the rematch at SummerSlam. So we'll see. I like the angle. What I didn't like was today on Twitter, Machine Gun Kelly.
Uh-oh, I was just bringing that up.
See, I follow Machine Gun Kelly. We're real tight because I'm the senior rap correspondent right here between the rooms.
Mad respect.
That's what we do in the senior rap correspondent circles, right? Mm-hmm. Machine Gun Kelly no-sold the attack last night.
What exactly did he say again?
Did you have it in front of you?
No, because I think he erased the tweet.
Oh, he said something along the lines of, is that the best you got? Next time, give me your best shot. And he put some emoticons up of somebody laughing. I mean, it was, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he already took the tweet down, I think.
WWE was like, no, you can't no sell this. This is an important angle for us.
I know, right? He was just like, you didn't hurt me one bit. You know, I was like, oh my God, hold on. I'll have it here in just a second. I know where it's at. But yeah, it's like, don't say anything about it, dude. You got to freaking no sell that, or you got to sell that thing, man.
Right.
Or just don't say anything at all. He said, fight Owens, fight. Did you take the belt for best cheap shot home tonight? Please hit harder next time. That was chump change.
There you go.
Yo, man.
Can't no sell those things. That's what we say in the rap community. We say, got it. You got to sell all the shots that you get from Kevin Owens, man.
Well, I don't listen to rap, man. Just one of the reasons. No respect. Well,
we're the senior rap correspondent community, so we're a little bit above the normal rap community, you know.
You know, like current rap to me, or about the only rap song that I like, Humpty Dance. That does it for me right there.
What?
Did you love the ground, baby? You don't like the Humpty Dance?
I'm just saying, you're going to be like the cha-cha slide. That's what's really good.
You don't like Stop What You're Doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. It look funny, but you all making money. CCO Award, I hope you're ready for me.
Yeah.
Around, I'm the new fool of town, and my sound's laid down by the underground.
That's not really my...
You got on your shelf, but just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty.
Anyway, moving on.
You don't know the Humpty Dance?
Sure. I know the Humpty Dance, but I'm not going to sit here and recite it on Between the Ropes.
Why? Because I can and you can't?
So Josh Lopez, our own Between the Ropes, Josh Lopez pointed out that... Machine Gun Kelly was ripping The Rock at WrestleMania. So that's right. In WrestleMania 28, he was attacking The Rock and verbally, of course, with his sweet jams.
Sweet jams, yo.
This guy has a history of harassing wrestlers. So maybe it's good that Kevin Owens finally stood up for these underdogs. But
the way that he got booed when it comes to Machine Gun Kelly playing, because people are there to see a wrestling show and not a rap show. The way that the crowd did not react to Machine Gun Kelly, it makes what Owens did like a babyface move. Everybody was like, yeah, kill him, man.
Yeah. That's part of the issue with having musical guests. Anyway, is the audience just does not give a crap. And the thing about it is if you go to one of these shows where they have a musical guest, you can't hear the music that well anyway. Nobody's paying it. It's not like a concert, right? It's not the same thing. It's just all for show. It's all it is.
Hey, nothing beat when Kiss showed up on WCW Nitro to help debut the Demon, though. Okay.
Oh, WCW and their classic cross promotion. RoboCop, remember?
They didn't even play like a popular Kiss song. It was like good. Like for just like average people that knew Kiss, it's like you couldn't play rock and roll all night. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Christian Piazza, not the Christian from WWE, who we haven't seen in months, but
I was hoping it was Sister Christian.
Yeah, Sister Christian. Yeah. He hopes that we get a Machine Gun Kelly versus Kevin Owens for the NXT title.
Mm.
That's a feud I could pay to see.
I don't know if that one's going to have much juice in it. Just going to point that out.
Well, I'm the senior rap correspondent, and I think it would be good for both Machine Gun Kelly and NXT.
So it would be much better for Machine Gun Kelly. Oh, man. So let's talk. You were talking about Battleground and SummerSlam before, okay? So I think it's kind of interesting now where they're going to be going, because it does look like – so they – well, I don't think they officially said it was at Battleground, but the belief is, okay, Lesnar, Rollins now for the championship – at Battleground in just under 5 weeks. Okay. So how is there a chance Rollins leaves with the title? And if he does, do you really believe that he would pin Lesnar even by screw job? Cause to me, that would seem a bad thing to do. And if you do a DQ or count out, especially at a pay-per-view in the main event, that's really rough as well. So that would mean that Brock would leave with the championship. But so, and then maybe, but then the thinking would also be, because I think that, you know, we talked about that poster in the previous podcast following Money in the Bank. So there's a lot of belief that maybe they would do Brock against Roman Reigns for the title at SummerSlam. But that feels so rushed if that's the direction that they go, because you still feel like Reigns needs some more steam. He needs to be built up more before he gets back in the title picture again. And I don't know if that would really work there. And plus, if you do Reigns against Lesnar, to me, that's the one where Reigns needs to win and get the title if Lesnar has it. And that would seem like way too rushed of a storyline to get to that point from now to where SummerSlam is in 2 months.
I guess you have to look at it in terms of what happens with the belt logically if Seth Rollins loses it. So I'm pretty convinced Seth Rollins is going to walk out of there the champion for all the reasons you mentioned, because it's going to rush the storyline. If Seth Rollins loses the belt, he's entitled to a championship rematch, which you would presume would take place at SummerSlam. It would be Brock Lesnar's next title defense. And so then does Seth Rollins win it back? Does he lose it in a triple threat match and he gives up his rematch clause? I think that's why I'm convinced Seth Rollins is going to win in a fluky fashion come Battleground. But I don't know what it means for the bigger picture.
And so Lesnar, like Lesnar being involved in something fluky.
So I think here's what I envision is going to happen. And this is why I don't think it hurts him that bad. I almost believe that what's going to happen is that Roman Reigns, and this is where you're losing Bray Wyatt a little bit, which I disagree with. Roman Reigns is going to get involved in that match as payback for what happened at WrestleMania. And so what happens is Roman Reigns comes out. He's going to spear Seth Rollins. He misses and hits Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar gets pissed. Brock Lesnar loses the match. Brock Lesnar gets pissed and says, I'm taking you on at SummerSlam. And then we have Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar part two, not for the title. But at least there's some buy-in there, because
Who would Rollins face for the title then? That's SummerSlam.
Triple H says, I've had enough. And he takes off his tie and then he gets his.
Well, I think that match could happen. Okay. I think you've got the two matches for SummerSlam, but I think you've got the wrong one with the title.
Okay. So you think that
Lesnar and Reigns is going to have the title. And I think Rollins against Triple H at SummerSlam, which will not have the title, but I think both of those are rushed.
So do you think that when does Seth Rollins get his rematch on Raw the next night?
No, I just think that he has to wait.
Rematch clause, baby. It's definitive. It's in the contract. Like Kane is up in headquarters signing off on these contracts.
That doesn't mean Brock Lesnar has to accept it. He's Brock Lesnar. He's got limited dates. He'll be there when he wants to be there, even though now that's more difficult to do that with, considering that he is not a heel. It was a great heel move. So maybe they don't put the title on Brock. They have to find a way around that.
Oh, and also, as
I mean, it's difficult to put the title on Brock as a babyface and explain why he's not there.
Yes, I agree with that. Also, as was rightfully pointed out, where is SummerSlam this year?
It's in New York, New Jersey.
Right. That crowd is a wrestling. It's going to be a wrestling crowd. It's going to be a wrestling town. You put Roman Reigns out there to win the title. You're going to crown him in New York, New Jersey. Really? Good luck with that one, Vince McMahon. You thought getting him.
Well, why don't they do Roman against Seth and do a double turn?
That would be beautiful. You think Seth Rollins is ready for a face turn?
Maybe.
I think Roman Reigns needs to be turned desperately. And I think if you put the belt on him, you need to turn him, especially if you're doing it at SummerSlam, to make that crowd like him.
Well, I've heard this adage, and I'm really starting to believe it, that with Reigns right now and kind of what's gone on with him so far, he's going to be a big star, and he's going to be a big babyface. But I think he does need to turn heel. I think he needs a good, solid heel run to get people emotionally invested in him again. And then makes it that much bigger of a deal when he is turned babyface, because it happens more naturally. Because he got crammed on everybody's throats a bit. And so now he needs to be a heel, I think. And then when the time comes, he turns babyface. It makes sense. People really get behind him. They really like him. And it will go a long way when it comes to his career.
All of the guys that have been huge stars have been heels first. Not that they weren't faces at some point before that, probably, but they came out as heels and were turned by the crowd. So Stone Cold Steve Austin, for example, huge heel in his feud against Bret Hart, and the crowd turned him. Okay, The Rock, the same thing. They hated him when he was a babyface. Turned heel, came back to the good side, right? John Cena had that whole run. His whole gangster rap run was predicated on the fact that he was supposed to be a heel. And then he slowly gets over with the crowd by being a little bit more likable, being charming. So I guess I don't understand why they're so against turning him heel right now. Give him the belt. I mean, hell, give him the belt. Let him have a run as a heel. It will get him over in the long run.
Yeah, if they're going to give him the belt within the next couple of months, I think he needs to be a heel. If it's because he's a babyface, I don't think it works. I think crowd hates it even more because it's something that is rushed again. And it sure seems like whatever he does with Bray Wyatt, it's only going to be like a short-term thing. It's going to go to Battleground. That's it.
Which means Bray Wyatt's going to lose. And that makes me really angry. Really angry. Broken record.
Let's get into a couple of the news and notes things. So I guess Jerry Lawler was at a meet and greet with some fans recently.
Wait. I know. You're going off on your thing. I got to bring this up. Okay. Did you see the tweet we got? Did you see this? I got to bring this up.
Not yet.
So last week, we had a fan reach out to us. Okay. And he said... He asked us, he said, I'm going to, let me find the exact quote here. But basically, Tim Clements, BTR fan, reached out to us on Twitter. He said, I'm going to go see Jerry Lawler this weekend at this convention. Do you have any questions for him? So, of course, I ask him, I say, can you please ask him if he still eats fried chicken every day? Because that was the thing, right? He eats fried chicken every day. Jerry Lawler does. So he sends us a picture. He said, Tim Clements at Tim3569. He still eats fried chicken every day. He even had it in his bag at the convention. Jerry Lawler had fried chicken in his bag at this convention.
Jerry, that's not good, man. Stop eating so much fried chicken, buddy.
So I owe Tim a big shout out for asking that ridiculous question that I proposed. And he got a nice picture with Jerry Lawler out of it, who was wearing a Superman shirt, which I approve of. But yeah, Jerry, buddy, come on. You had a heart attack. That's not really what you want to eat.
We ran into King the day that we got into San Jose for WrestleMania at a Walgreens because we went over there to get some drinks.
was eating fried chicken?
He was not eating fried chicken. I was not with you. I was with another friend. But there was Lawler, and I went up and I talked to him for a minute. He acted like he remembered me, so maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He was not eating fried chicken. But, yeah, it's funny the people that you bump into at different times. But he looks good, you know, so that's all that matters. But so at this little meet and greet with fans, somebody was talking to him about SmackDown, you know, which is moving to USA. And it's supposed to be moving to Thursdays. And Lawler made a comment about, yeah, it might be moving to Fridays and it might be live. I'm like, what?
He also said he loved doing being on SmackDown because it's 2 hours and it was less stress.
Oh, I know, absolutely.
Good for you, Jerry. Speak your mind, buddy. Speak your mind.
There's not much pressure being on the B show, man.
Well, okay, so the whole thing was it was going to move to Fridays. Once it comes to USA, USA is going to put it on Fridays and make it live to make it more relevant, right?
That's what he was claiming that might happen.
I mean, I could see that. I think it's weird to move it to Thursdays and then move it back to Fridays.
But how are you going to do the whole being live on Fridays? Because that's one less touring show that you can do. Because sure. That means you can't do house shows. And the cost of going live is pretty extensive.
Well, USA is fitting the bill right at that point, right? I mean, at that point, USA is probably willing to pay for it if they think it's a draw.
Maybe. Do they really think the ratings are going to be that much higher because it's a live show?
If they do something interesting with the show, that would be.
Yeah, maybe, but
And what I read, too, also said that your thing about them losing a date, they would also give up, instead of being off Wednesday, Thursday, they would be off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and just come back on Fridays for SmackDown.
Well, the boys would love that.
Sure.
I mean, if they're doing one less house show, that means they get an extra day off. So instead of basically getting 36 hours off, which they get right now after travel and everything, you could add another 24 hours to that. So they'd get 60 hours off. They would get 2.5 days off.
Yeah.
Boys would love that.
Hell yeah.
So that'd be interesting. TNA news. According to ProWrestling.net, tell me if you've heard this one before. TNA is late on payment to talent and others more than a week. And by the way, there was, and you brought this up too, about how they have a new X Division title belt. That's not true. It's the same belt. They painted it a new color.
That was dumb. That was real dumb. They're real dumb. God. Yeah, just paint your belt a different color. Why not? Have fun with that.
Sure. They painted the belt a different color.
Spray paint going in a Walmart. Dixie Carter's like, you know what? Why don't you just get the cheapest thing they got? We just want to make it look a little bit different.
Oh, here's another thing too. So, okay. We're talking about Slammiversary, which is coming up at the end of the month, right? And they're having that problem because the Wednesday before Slammiversary, they're doing the live edition of Impact, right? And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they're going to be taping TV, which is going to be airing after Slammiversary. So we're wondering, okay, well, how are you going to explain that, especially if you change the title? Because Kurt Angle is taking on EC3. And a lot of people believe that Ethan Carter III is winning the title. Well, they found a way around it. There's not going to be a world title match at Slammiversary.
Lord, what are you doing? What the hell are you? Yeah, we're going to have our biggest show of the year and our supercard. And we won't have that belt on the line.
They are taping it. So that, I believe it's going to be that Thursday that they're doing the TV tapings. That's when they're going to be taping it. And it will air, I believe, on July 1st.
Okay. God, this is so weird. It just almost seems like, why don't you just tape your, I don't know.
So there'll be no title match on Slammiversary, but on the first Impact after Slammiversary, that's when they have the title match.
Dumb.
But remember, I don't know why they did the live pay-per-view, because pay-per-view numbers do not matter. Their TV ratings do matter. So that's why that's another reason why they're moving this match to TV.
Well, they want Slammiversary to be something big, and then Slammiversary is going to be in the Impact Zone, right? It's going to be, this is their first pay-per-view this year, right?
Yes.
So you're going to, God, I just don't understand. You'd be better off riding your champion off TV for a month than that. Literally, riding your champion off TV for a month would be better for you, or 2 months would be better for you than this asinine decision. You're going to have your first pay-per-view of the year, your biggest show of the year, and not put your champion on it to defend his belt. What? What?
Welcome to TNA, everybody. By the way, you know that Seth Rollins made SportsCenter for cracking on Manziel and LeBron last night?
Did he?
Yes, he did. I'm telling you, Johnny Idiot Face is going to catch on.
Like, you couldn't even see him. He like ducked his head like real shady like this. He was like over here doing this. That was what he did immediately.
I can't wait I love Seth, man. It's funny because going back to WrestleMania, when Seth had his big moment of winning the title, they did highlights of WrestleMania on SportsCenter, which was shocking to say the least. Like, they were real sporting event highlights. And Steve Levy did them. And you could tell that he was into it, man. And they did that. And then now you've got him making SportsCenter again for cracking on a couple Cleveland stars, which I'm sure The Miz just loved being from Cleveland. Same with Dolph Ziggler. They're both from Cleveland. And speaking of that, so go back to last week. Did you see this? So they were doing game 4 of the NBA Finals in Cleveland, right? So they're doing – the NBA TV is doing their pregame show on the court with the hosts and the different anchors. One of them was Dennis Scott, who's a former Magic player. They had somebody else. So in the middle of them being live on the air, I think it was those guys that were on there. Maybe. But anyway, out of nowhere – Ric Flair struts up behind them live on the air, and he's like, woo, and he just walks off, you know, and they're all laughing their ass off. And then during the – maybe it was pregame or during a timeout, Flair was out on the court in a robe, and he was, you know, getting the crowd going. And at one point, he took a picture on the court with Ziggler and Miz because they're both guys from Cleveland. So, yeah, Ric Flair was infiltrating the NBA Finals last week.
Well, we have some questions about the NBA Finals once we get to our questions and answers segment. But I have a question for you. We're on the subject. We're approaching the subject. I have a question for you. How dumb is TNA? How freaking dumb are they? Like all of them. Like, not the wrestlers, like the talent. But whoever, whoever is the dumb ones over there, making dumb decisions, how dumb are they? On a scale of one to dumb, how dumb are they? On a scale of one to dumb.
I can't say because people have already accused me of hating on that company. So
dumb
much,
being so. The dumbest. I like the people in the company except for the dumb ones.
Well, I like the talent a lot, and I don't think that's ever been the problem. I think the problem has been the higher-ups.
If you come at me and you tell me that you're going to accuse me of not liking TNA, I will say, okay, valid point. However, I just don't like the dumb ones. I like TNA for the smart ones, not the dumb ones. Okay,
I just don't like the dumb ones.
Don't hate me on Twitter for this. Okay, I am the guy who wrote an article a year and a half ago that said TNA should go out of business. But you know, that's beside the point.
You still might be right. Anyway. Raw numbers went up. Raw jumped to 500,000 viewers this week. They went from an average last week of a little over 3.6 to this week doing 4.1.
Wow.
Millions. Wow. Oh, crap. Speaking of TNA, there's a reason why they don't need a world championship match on that show.
Uh-oh. Oh, Lord.
You know why? They've got something that will make up for it right here.
Stupidity?
I'm going to say 4 words that are going to be magic, and you'll understand why they do not need a world championship match at Slammiversary. Are you ready?
Oh, man. Let me limber up. Hold on. This is going to be good. All right, limber up. Okay. Ooh, okay.
You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
4 words. They are. Okay. Ready?
Uh-huh.
King of the Mountain. Yeah.
Crap.
She's back.
Jeez.
Woo.
Lord. God. But isn't that match always for the belt, though?
I don't know.
Isn't it?
The penalty box is going to be back and everything.
Oh, my God. The penalty box.
For the first time in 6 years, the King of the Mountain match returns to Slammiversary on June 28th, live on pay-per-view, a TNA original, and one of the most innovative matches in all professional wrestling. The King of the Mountain was a staple of the annual Slammiversary event through 2009. Some of the greatest wrestlers in TNA history have entered the King of the Mountain match in hopes to stake claim to TNA gold.
What is innovative about that match?
A reverse battle royal, which is the worst idea they've ever had.
Okay, do you remember when WCW had that stupid gimmick match where they electrocuted a guy in the middle of the ring?
Of course.
That's about as bad as what King of the Mountain is. So
I remember when Abyss took a bump into a Christmas tree and got electrocuted.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Can we move on? What other news you got? What else happened this week?
A little bit more serious thing. So I haven't seen it yet, but I heard the Dusty Rhodes special that WWE did that aired for the first time following Raw. I heard it was spectacular. I know some of the stuff came from the documentary, but they had a lot of other new interviews on there as well. I heard it was really, really good. So I'm going to go out of my way to watch that, and I would encourage everybody else to do that as well.
And kudos to WWE for putting together something so special. I mean, even the thing they did Sunday night honoring him was incredible. You could tell all the wrestlers were visibly emotional. The tribute video, even if you just watched the tribute video they did for him, that 3-minute thing, it was phenomenal. The man was a legend. He is a legend. You know, God bless his soul.
2K Sports announced the first six names for the WWE 2K16 video game, which is coming out in October. Would you care to guess the first six names released?
I saw some of them today, and I know that for a fact, my boy Finn Balor's on the roster. He is.
Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Bad News Barrett, I guess not King Barrett, Paige, and Finn Balor all in the game.
Looking forward to this. I think last year's outing was a little bit weak. I think it could have benefited from a little bit more time in the oven. It felt a little bit lackluster here and there. So I think, you know, they jumped up to the new generation of consoles. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with this year's lineup. I'm excited. I hope it delivers. I hope NXT is more fleshed out than what it was last year.
Yeah, yeah. So trying to see if there was any more news about TNA here real quick.
No, dear God, can we just not? No, let's not. Listen, if you subscribe to us on Patreon and you give us enough money, we will talk about TNA if it's still in business at that point. But otherwise, forget this nonsense. This is nonsense.
Just wanted to make sure I'm covering my bases. Tough Enough special is airing tonight. Dude, if you've got Periscope, man, all day they were doing Periscope videos about Tough Enough.
What Tough Enough special is airing tonight?
The Tough Enough special that is airing tonight is chronicling the official tryouts of 40 finalists. So it's all the people that tried out last week and how they cut down to the finals or whatever. So it's just showing them trying out, including Triple H walking into the performance center, walking through the side, and he goes to the trainer's room. And right there at the end of the trainer's room, you can hear a guy puking. And there's a guy with his head in a trash can. And it was like, that's why he says something like, that's what I like to hear.
That's gross. Ugh. Oh, like father-in-law, like son, I guess.
He's gonna puke.
Ugh. Ugh. Well, watch that. Tough Enough comes back next week. You can catch us before Tough Enough. Basically, Between the Ropes is going to be your Tough Enough pregame show.
Sure.
We'll drink beers with you, talk about Raw, get you ready for Tough Enough every week. So come on back next week. What do you think?
Was there any other news or notes or anything that we need to hit on before we get to some more questions?
No, I think we're good.
By the way, you know The Undertaker helped Finn Balor come up with his entrance?
Really?
Yes.
That was a smart move. I mean, that man knows entrances. If there's anything that man knows.
He like asked a bunch of different people, and I guess Undertaker reached out to him.
Good for him. That's smart. All right. Questions. If you got questions and you're in the chat room right now, I'm looking at you, some of the people in here that are using an offensive language. If you got questions, post them in the chat room. I've made a list of them, and we are getting ready to jump right in. John Petter, Horn Opsal, and if I butchered your name, I apologize, writes in to ask us, Brian, what do you think about Global Force using a six-sided ring? Good move or bad idea?
I think it's a bad idea. And the reason is because the six-sided ring has become so associated from TNA that I would not do that.
I think it's interesting, and I think my biggest concern is this. Jeff Jarrett, the common thread between the two companies, is starting this promotion to be something different than TNA. And by going with a six-sided ring, people immediately assume you're doing the exact same thing you did over a decade ago. So I don't know if it's a bad idea, but it would not be an idea I would encourage too much. Keep it traditional. Wrestling is four sides. That's okay. And I like the four sides better.
Plus, it's a pain in the butt to get a six-sided ring and to move it around. There's not that many of them around. It's a lot easier to get a four-sided ring.
Yep, they're prehistoric, you know, the dinosaurs. All right, we got that one out of the way. Francis, number one super fan Francis. By the way, there was a breakout on the Facebook, on our Facebook page, about if you donated enough money to our Patreon campaign, could you take over the title of number one super fan? So I said yes. I don't know what that amount is, but the bidding war begins for the new number one super fan of Between the Ropes. Francis, better watch out.
We're like Francis, the $1 million man. Everyone's got a price.
Money, 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 money. Francis has a series of questions, as always. We talked about the new X Division belt. The two I wanted to focus on, he asked if Sheamus winning Money in the Bank was another damaged angle.
No, we don't know yet. Let's see where it goes.
And he wants us to tell him more about Patagon. And I think he means Patreon.
Does he, or does he mean Paragon Wrestling?
What is Paragon Wrestling? Can you tell me more about that?
That's on TV.
Is it? Tell me more about it.
Hold on. I'm going to bring up my information on Paragon. Hold on.
The other ones are kind of generic. Any thoughts on showing Summerversary live on free-to-air TV in the UK and France? They're doing that because the card is looking very lackluster at this point. And could Grado win the belt? Sure.
Grado.
Yeah.
Say his name right.
Sorry.
Say his name right, kid.
It's the accent. It's my accent. My southern accent messes me up there.
Paragon Wrestling. Here we go. Paragon Pro Wrestling announces National Network Television debut June 15th in Las Vegas. Beginning Saturday, July 4th, Paragon Pro Wrestling will air on Pop TV every Saturday at 6 a.m. across the country.
Interesting. Huh. There you go. That's what we know. There you go.
More wrestling to watch.
Next question.
We'll finally bring the excitement of old school professional wrestling back to network TV. Are you you want to know a couple of the big names that they're pushing?
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Go.
Competitors like Gangrel.
Oh, God.
Big money Tyshawn Prince. Not Tayshawn Prince, formerly of the Pistons and currently of the Grizzlies in the NBA.
Groan.
Wes Briscoe and the Paragon Pro Wrestling champion, Jesse Sorensen.
Oh, yeah, at least you got Sorensen up there. That card's worse than WrestleCade. WrestleCade's got a pretty good card.
I haven't even seen the card for WrestleCade.
John Morrison.
Again?
He hasn't been here. I think this is his first year at WrestleCade.
If you say so.
All right. A question more up your alley, Brian.
Ooh.
Ramen Shariati writes in, "Hi, Brian and Michael. If the Cavs lose, will LeBron still win MVP?
That's a very good question.
No. If they lose, Curry's going to win it.
I agree, especially if Steph has a good game in game 6 or game 7. I tend to think it's getting closed out tonight in Cleveland, but you never know with the Cavs. And it's on their home floor, so maybe they win this game and it goes to game 7. It goes back out to the Oracle out in Golden State. But I think that it's extremely difficult for the losing team to have the MVP. It's only been done one time in the NBA, I believe. The last time it happened was back in 1969 when Jerry West of the Lakers was the MVP and they lost to the Celtics. So I think LeBron obviously has been the best player, but Curry had that huge game in game 5 where he put up 37, was putting up, trademark Steph Curry moves and shots. So if he has another good game, and they win the title, I think Steph is going to win it.
Clutch, baby. I mean, being clutch, that's part of what being an MVP is. I think that's worth talking about. All right. He also had a follow-up question. He asked the Blackhawks are a dynasty, which you said yes. They are.
Hey, man, I heard the Commissioner Bettman say last night when he was awarding the cup, 3 titles in 6 years.
But the reason I bring that up again is not to hear you talk about them over and over like you've done all show. Please shut up. You done yet? Oh, God. Okay. He says, if so, then are the Giants, with 3 World Series in 5 years, a dynasty as well?
Yes.
I'm telling you, baseball, that's your realm, baby. All I know is this. Winston-Salem Dash. Look at the shirt.
You mean Major League Baseball is my realm. You're all over the minor league.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I think they're both real baseball. They're just a different level of baseball. Mm. That's like, would you say that TNA is not real wrestling? I'm at Andreas Pavardinis writes in. Hi, love your shows as always. Thank you, Andreas. We appreciate your listening and watching. Here's my question. Do you think that Paige's storyline with the Bellas is leading to her bringing someone back up from NXT? Maybe yes. Charlotte.
I do. And I hope at least it is. Whether it's Charlotte or whether it's Sasha Banks, maybe it's going to be Bayley. Maybe she would be the one that they would bring up. So I think it is, and I think they need some fresh blood. Here's the thing, though. If WWE continues to book the Divas division the way that they have, I don't know how well it's going to be for someone if they bring them up. If they sure. book them stronger and they give a little bit more of a concerted effort towards that division, then yes. And I think, you know, as contrite of a little thing as it could be, don't call it the Divas division anymore. Call it the Women's division and put more emphasis on in-ring work. Maybe they can't do that right now, but it's something that they could do, you know, once they bring up some more talent from NXT, because they've got so many of the women there that can work. Paige can work too. Obviously, Natalya can. You've got some girls on the main roster that can. I think Summer Rae is underrated. I'm not saying that she's as good as the other ones, but I think she deserves a little bit more of an opportunity. But once you bring up some of the other ones from NXT, are they going to change their mentality about it? Are they going to put them in a better position, let them have better matches, and maybe even scrap the Divas? Now, maybe one of the reasons why they feel like they can't do that right now is because of the Divas reality show. But, you know, if they ever want to really make some change when it comes to that and put a better emphasis on the division, I think change it to the women's division and let them have real matches with people that can go out there and have good matches.
I think that's a good, you're in this position now with the Divas division where it doesn't mean much. And I think that plan, Brian, that's what you need to do, is you need to make it all the women's division. And I like the idea of even having some more cross promotion between the two brands. And if you have the Divas division, let them be this weird thing over here that goes out, like almost like the difference in a dance team versus cheerleaders, right? Your cheerleaders are on the field. They're doing their thing, supporting the fans, supporting the football team, basketball team, whatever. The dance team comes out at halftime and does a little show and leaves. And I think that's what the Divas division should be, is this thing that's on TV over here on E during the seasons that show is on. And then the women's division is cross-platform. It's NXT, it's WWE, and they're fighting for, you know, they're all in the same fighting for those belts. It needs something, and you're a genius. Mikolaj Tomas Barney writes in, Sheamus won the Money in the Bank case, so can we see Brock facing him? He said he wants Sheamus to wrestle Brock because when Sheamus wrestled Daniel Bryan, it was brutal and it was stiff. So can we see him be stiff against Brock Lesnar? Keep up the good work. Thanks, Mikolaj. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I think that we can see him. We can see Sheamus against Brock. I think WWE management really likes Sheamus. And if you want a good, believable big man match and they're looking for other opponents for Brock Lesnar, I think Sheamus definitely has to be in the mix.
I
think Sheamus has a better chance of facing Brock Lesnar than Kevin Owens.
I think that's the match you could end up seeing at some point if Brock wins. And I think people would like it. It's something new. It's something different. And these guys would feel like two behemoths battling, like Godzilla versus, you know, Mothra. I mean, it could be something kind of like, it'd be fun.
That's WrestleMania right there, booked.
A little ways away from that, don't you think?
Booked.
He also wanted to chime in and say that Paige, he thinks Paige is over and out. She's not doing well on promos or matches. Do we think there's something there?
No, Paige is doing fine. They got to give her more. That's the whole thing. That division right now is just lacking overall. And they just got to infuse more talent, and they got to give them better storylines.
I think that's the biggest thing. She has nothing to sink her teeth into nowadays. She's just like the whole division. She's meandering around with nowhere to go.
It feels like it's the same thing over and over and over. And they only trust certain women to get in the ring. And even then it's only okay matches. And you see the talent that's in NXT, and they have great matches. So, you know, the whole thing is too, you got to bring them up at the right time, to where it doesn't strip NXT and it's meaningful to the main roster, and you know they're actually going to do something. You don't want to bring them up just for the sake of bringing them up. That's not good for anybody.
USC2 chimes in on the chat room. If Baylor wins the NXT title, how much longer will he be stuck down there?
I don't know. And there's been a lot of talk about him coming up in the main roster sooner rather than later as well. So I would think, though, that he's going to be down there until probably at least October when Sami Zayn comes back. I think that's kind of the timeline for Sami to come back. So if he's able to come back then, I think it makes sense once they have Sami there to bring back, to possibly move Finn. But the weird thing is that it looks like the plan was that Sami was going to be the guy that got to call the main roster and not Kevin Owens. And if that is the case, does that mean Sami misses out on that opportunity and he has to stay in NXT longer? Or when they bring him back, would they put him up on the main roster pretty quick?
If you were to lose Owens and Balor and Sami Zayn all down there at the same time, what does that leave you with in NXT?
Leaves you with Samoa Joe. It leaves you with UHA Nation, who I think they're going to start pushing really hard here really quick. It leaves you with Tyler Breeze, who's still kind of like, he's a pretty big star in NXT, but I don't know if it would work right now in the main roster as they continue to tweak with his character. And right now they're turning him babyface just so he has an opportunity to do that as well. And outside of that, there's a lot of question marks. I'm not sure who else they would bring in. I mean, this goes back to the whole thing of, would they bring in some other talent? And it also goes to the whole thing of, so there's been a lot of talk about WWE buying Evolve or getting involved with them. And that would be just from a standpoint of, if we do business with Evolve, then we can get the trademarks to some of these talents. So that way, if we ever sign them to NXT, there's not going to be any kind of problems when it comes to owning their trademarks, because they don't like what happened with Kevin Steen and that he was with Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor made a toy deal, and they have a Kevin Owens toy coming out, or action figure, and it looks exactly like he does right now. And they don't want that to happen because they're like, okay, so this guy's getting big, making a huge name for himself in our company on a worldwide scale, and they're going to profit from it, and we don't want that to happen again. So they're talking about making a deal with Evolve right now. And supposedly WWE is going to be a little less they won't look at Ring of Honor talent as much when it comes to guys that they could bring in for the main roster. Like, anybody that they signed would most likely have to go through NXT anyway. And there's a thinking right now that there's exceptions to every rule, but maybe they'll look less at Ring of Honor talent. Or if they do, it would be guys that would only be for NXT, with the thinking of not bringing up to the main roster and keeping them with NXT as that brand grows.
It's weird. Wrestling's in a weird place these days. It's such a weird thing to think about what's happened to developmental, what's happened to the indies, and this contention, and how NXT has single-handedly changed the landscape of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just can't disagree with that. It has changed the way business is done from top to bottom, and especially at the bottom. It's weird.
Hey, you mentioned WrestleCade. Are you going to be bringing a toy to their toy drive?
Yeah, maybe.
They got some huge, man, I'm looking at the list of names for this thing.
Are you coming down?
Holy crap, they got a lot of people for this,
they
man.
Always have, man. We could get interviews. Listen, we could be styling and profiling with the big stars. I'm sure your boy Drew McIntyre is going to be there. Matt Hardy always shows up.
I'm looking at it right now.
Matt Hardy always shows up. Listen.
Problem. Here's the problem, okay?
Okay.
I am, for the 11th year in a row, the producer for University of Central Florida Athletics, especially football. Okay, I haven't missed a football game in over 10 years. They are playing a game the day before. I don't know what time yet. Might be an afternoon game, but it's probably a night game. I cannot miss that game. And that means I can't get the WrestleCade. I mean, I'd have to fly out like maybe the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I could find a flight, if I could find a cheap enough flight where I could get there early in the morning on that Saturday and then stay for a couple of days, maybe. Or if they had an afternoon game and there was a night flight, then I could. But I got a feeling it's not going to be a noon game. I got a feeling it's going to be like a 7 o'clock game.
WrestleCade Fan Fest runs all afternoon. Okay.
What time does it start at in the morning?
Okay. It doesn't start until after lunch sometime. It's like
really?
One. Yeah.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. So, and then there's a break in between that. There's about a 2 or 3 hour break. We go grab some dinner. We go back for this show that night and we hang out with some guys afterwards at the hotel bar, do whatever.
Mm.
It's your day, man. I met the coolest tag team in the world last year.
The Young Bucks?
No, the Young Lions. And they were some cool guys.
Did you see the Young Bucks AMA?
No. Reddit? Did they do one? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, they did.
That's awesome.
They were asking what Cesaro smells like, and they said coffee.
Okay.
Cesaro has a love of coffee that is unparalleled, if you haven't noticed.
That's interesting.
Apparently not the way that you just sold that.
That's, yeah. That's interesting. Weird.
Dude, Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant is going to be a WrestleCade. All right. That's right. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. The Boogie Woogie Man.
We got a couple more questions, but
get two more real quick. We'll find them out and then we'll wrap it up.
So you're talking about Samoa Joe being one of those guys still down in NXT. Christian Piazza writes in. Question to you between the ropes. Do you think WWE will make Samoa Joe be soft or will they let Samoa Joe be dominant? And he freaked out a little bit about Gangrel.
I think not as dominant as Lesnar, but a dominant guy. But I also think that he is going to be somebody that the plan is to keep him with NXT and not bring him up to the main roster. Not saying it won't happen, but I think the plan is to keep him with NXT.
Yeah. I think he's going to be dominant, though. And that's his persona. That's his personality. And speaking of dominant guys, Radnick wants to know if there's any chance of Owens versus Brock sometimes this year or at Mania.
I wouldn't say WrestleMania. There's a chance for it, but like I said before, I think that there's a better chance of Sheamus against Brock than Owens. But if they continue Owens on this track right now, I think that would be damn interesting, especially the promos between Kevin Owens and Paul Heyman and all the different things that could be done leading up to that. Because Owens is a bully. And Brock is the biggest boy on the block.
I mean, if Brock Lesnar does keep up this heel turn, this face turn, and you have Owens as the heel, that is a money feud right there. Money.
The whole thing is, do people believe it that Kevin Owens could beat Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
That's the key. That's the key.
Kevin Owens, I think setting him up by letting him beat John Cena, that's the way to do that. And I think I think that's the way you buy into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that could happen. I don't know about WrestleMania, but you're looking for possible opponents for Brock Lesnar. And you have to take a good look at Kevin Owens, I think.
Big money feud, baby. We book it. We book it, you buy it. That's what we say here between the ropes. That's our saying.
Sure.
We book it, you buy it.
Senior booking correspondent, Michael Wiseman.
Mm-hmm. I do it all, man.
There you go.
On that note.
On that note, we're going to wrap it up. couple of things we want to remind everybody. Thanks for all the support. Please make sure to subscribe to us here on YouTube. We appreciate that. And you get all the videos that we do. And please like our videos, share them with anybody and everybody. And also feel free to make comments in the section below the video. And go to BetweenTheRopes.com. Check out the website, and you can subscribe to us, to our podcast as well, whether it's on iTunes or on Stitcher. We'll be turning this into a podcast, but also we have other interviews and things that we do that are podcast exclusive when it comes to audio. And if you don't have time to check out the videos, then you can subscribe and get these audio version and listen to them, you know, on your iPhone or computer or wherever. So subscribe to us there, and you can rate us and review us. And also, like we said at the beginning, we started a Patreon page. So we're hoping that you can help support us there. If you see value in what we do, if you like what we do and you want to help us out, make sure that we can keep doing Between the Ropes, donating the time that we do to it right now, and even donating more time to it. Please help us out with Patreon, even if it's as little as a dollar a month. It goes a really, really long way. And like you said, you know, we've got some different things that are set up there right now when it comes to what you get for pledges. If you want to give more than a dollar, that would be fantastic. You would be awesome. If you can only give a dollar a month, that would be great. And if you can't do anything right now, just continue to support us. You know, that's all we ask for. And you can support us by telling other people about us and subscribing to us. All that's fantastic. But if you can contribute on Patreon, that would be fantastic, and we go a long way to helping us out. And we hope that you consider doing that and appreciate what we do. And if you see value in what we're doing, please you know, share with us through our Patreon page and through a pledge there. So thanks.
And we love this. I mean, Brian and I are good friends, and we've been doing this for a few years. Brian has been doing this way longer than me. This is one of the highlights of my week when we do this. We love doing the breaking news. We have a lot of great guys and staff on the site.
More ideas. We've got more things that we want to do. It's just with Patreon, if that is able to help us out, it not only help offset the cost that we have right now when it comes to doing the website and server and everything like that, but that helps us to where I can do other things less when it comes to like other work, and you can as well. And that means I can dedicate more time to Between the Ropes. I can do more stuff. And we have other ideas for shows and videos and different things that we want to do. It's just that it has to be cost effective and has to be time effective as well. Like today, I wanted to do some Between the Ropes stuff. Guess what? I couldn't do it. I'd do my real job. I was flying all over Central Florida in a helicopter.
Got to pay the man.
And I didn't have Wi-Fi in the chopper. And quite honestly, it's a small helicopter, and sitting in the back and putting your laptop on your lap and trying to do work, it's tight. It's really tight.
Did you say get to the chopper?
Get to the chopper.
No, but we just want you to know that if you can't help us out, it will let us do more of this, give more back to you. We appreciate you guys no matter what happens.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So thanks again for joining us and checking out the podcast and subscribe to us and all of that. So we always appreciate it. I'm Brian Fritz. He is Michael Wiseman. And thanks again for joining us here for Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.